I've never heard that song before. I really like it, though. If you don't have a hymn book at home, you ought to have one. Those old songs, there's something about just reading through the words sometimes. We have some, I think, in the bookstore. We have some laying around. Don't take them out of the pew. Though we don't hardly use them, you probably could. But if you'd like to have one, I think we have some extras around too. But you ought to have a hymn book. And I'll be close to your devotion table. And every once in a while, you ought to just open it up, maybe read through. With the internet today, you could do a little research on the different hymn writers. I'm amazed at when and the circumstances of some of those hymns. God's always good to us. Today, we're still in the Gospel of Mark. I want to say that this is probably sermon number 76, 77, somewhere in there. And we've been in this for a long time. We're closing in on the end of the Gospel, but the truth of the matter is it's really just the beginning of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, we dealt with the restoration of the saint of God, Simon Peter, denying Jesus and how Jesus restored him and God used him later on. This week, we're going to deal with the rejection of the Son of God. It's going to be a couple weeks here that the subject matter is going to be deep. It's going to be a little dark. It's going to be, my wife used the term last week, she said heavy. Heavy. There's a lot to it. And there's a lot of similarities in how the people here respond to Jesus and how we do. And I want to address those areas today. This passage brings us one step closer to the death of the Son of God. Jesus, at this point in chapter 15 of Mark, has been arrested by his enemies. He's been put on a trial, really, by the religious authorities. They've condemned him. This condemnation was based on the testimony of false witnesses and by erroneous or wrong accusations. But they didn't care. They didn't care about the evidence. What they wanted to do was get rid of Jesus. Jesus had come in and he had turned the world upside down. These religious leaders, many of them were wealthy, many of them had great power, and the last thing they wanted to do was to let go of that. In this passage, we'll see Jesus rejected by the religious authorities. We'll see him rejected by the civil authority or the ruling authority, Pilate and Herod. Well, and sadly, we'll see him rejected by the common man as well. I believe these three things are still going on in our world today. I believe we're still seeing Jesus rejected by the ruling or religious community today. Jesus is not allowed in a lot of churches today. If he is allowed in, it's a different version than the one that's in the Bible. He's rejected by the ruling class, our nation. Has turned its back on God in so many ways. 2020 was the latest one. They've not come out with the numbers yet, but 2020, it was estimated that around the globe, 45 million babies were put to death through abortion. 45 million. This text reveals really the heart of human nature. This text, this passage reveals that man in his unsaved state is depraved. He's a man of intense hatred and evil. Once an African tribal chief happened onto a mission station. This was back probably in the 20s, 1920s, about 100 years ago. Outside of the mission station, the missionary had nailed a mirror to a tree. The chief happened to look in the mirror and saw his reflection. With the terrifying pain and the threatening features that he had, he gazed at his own countenance and it stared back at him, and he exclaimed in horror to the missionary. He said, "Who's that horrible looking person in the tree?" The missionary said, "The glass is reflecting you." Well, the African chief, he would not believe it until he held the mirror in his hand. He took it off the tree and held and looked at it. And he said, "I must have this mirror." The missionary said, "You can't have it." He said, "I must have this mirror." Finally, the missionary felt like that if he gave him the mirror or sold it or bartered with him over it, that maybe it would create some inroads into that tribal chief's area. So he did. He bartered with him and they exchanged some goods for the mirror. Almost immediately, the chief raised the mirror above his head and threw it on the ground, shattering it. He said, "I will never have it making faces at me again." Oh, sometimes we look at the Word of God and we see a horrible face. And we ask, "Who is that?" And God says, "That's you." If we're not careful, we'll throw the Word of God down and say, "I'll not have it making faces at me." Maybe in 2022, whenever we read the Word of God, and God pricks our hearts or we see ourselves in the passage, may we respond in a way that helps us to change that image in the mirror. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. First of all, today I want you to see the Son of God is rejected by the religious community. In the morning, there's probably a time between 3 and 6 a.m. As soon as dawn begins to break, the chief priests convene all of the rulers of Israel, and together they talk about Jesus and how he is arrested. They beat him a little, and they did all of these things, and they brought the temple police in, and during this phase of the trial, they ask him the same question over again, over and over again, "Are you the Son of God?" And he said, "I am." They couldn't stand it. They confirmed him as a blasphemer, and they reaffirmed his sentence of death. The actions of these religious men teach us a very important truth. The truth is this: religion has no room for Jesus Christ. The Jewish religious leaders had a good thing going. As far as daily life in Israel was concerned, they held all of the power over the people. They were making vast amounts of money through the buying and selling. How many of you remember Jesus overturning the tables of the money changers? That was a big deal. He attacked their income system, how they were bringing in massive amounts of money. Many were rich, many were powerful. They believed they were right with God. They believed they were justified in their actions. Yet the Jews, the religious leaders, rejected Jesus because religion has no room for Jesus Christ. Fact is, no religious system has room for Jesus. See, religion is all about human involvement and human activity. It's always based on external works, lighting candles, taking communion, doing this, Hail Marys and baptism and all the rest. But biblical Christianity is always based in faith. Get that today. Biblical Christianity is always based in faith or on faith. Religion seeks to approach God on the basis of what man can do. Can I tell you today, there's nothing you and I can do to approach God other than receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the only thing that will allow us access to God. Biblical Christianity seeks to approach God on the basis of what God or Jesus has done for us. The reason why we have an empty cross hanging up in the sanctuary. The cross is empty today. Praise God for that. But it's a reminder to us of the sacrifice that was made for our sins. It's a reminder to us that the only way you and I can go to heaven is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice. There's a vast difference between man's religion and biblical Christianity. You see, as biblical Christianity stays with the Word of God, there's a great gulf with religion. We see that happening in our world today. Religion today has broken or shattered the mirror of the Word of God because they don't want God telling what to do. They're accepting all of the things that the world brings in today. The Bible's crystal clear on this issue. No one is saved by works, even religious or good works. The Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. What those laws do is make us aware of our sins. They can't save us. Only Jesus can. The law is like a stop sign that says stop. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God's. Not works, lest any man should boast. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Can I tell you today that there's a vast difference between man's religion and biblical Christianity? So the religious community rejected Jesus Christ. Bible believers receive Jesus Christ. See, biblical Christianity has the power to not only save your soul, but it has the power to make you holy and become like Jesus. You'll read your Bible, you'll pray, you'll give, you'll go to church. And the reason why is because there's something new inside of you. Someone new, I should say. So we see in verse number 1 that Jesus was rejected by the religious community. But in verse number 2, they bring him to Pilate. Pilate is the governor of Jerusalem, possibly Israel. I'd have to search that out. I don't even remember now. But he's the ruler. He's been put in place by the Roman government. At this point, the Roman Empire basically rules the entire world. They allow each conquered people group to maintain certain aspects of their religion and all that as long as it doesn't conflict with the Roman Empire. By the way, that's how all governments are. Whenever they quit being based on the Word of God, it's not long before the Caesars decided that they were gods. And you had to obey them. And if you didn't obey them, then they killed you. Huh. Well, we won't go very far with that today. But verse number 2, bringing before Pilate. Notice, Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered, said unto him, thou sayest it. I find it interesting. Whenever the Jews ask Jesus, are you the Son of God? He said, I am. But when he stands before a pagan, a Gentile, a lost man, he says, you say it. You say, well, what does that mean? What he was saying is, I am the king of the Jews, but in a different way than you think. You know what I find sad about this? Pilate comes face to face with Jesus. He has an opportunity here. Verse number 3, and the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." The Jews made all manner of accusations against Jesus, but he just stood there. After he said, "Thou sayest it," to Pilate, he didn't say another word to him. You say, why? Well, because the Bible predicted this. In Isaiah, the Word of God says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. He just... Pilate attempted to get Jesus to defend himself, but again, Jesus just stood there in silence. But I got an idea that it was a sort of regal, royal silence. There was something about that man. His refusal to answer left Pilate amazed. Pilate was amazed, and I believe this, he was also convinced that Jesus was innocent. He knew he was innocent of the charges that were being leveled against him. This man wasn't unaware of who Jesus was and what he had been doing. He knew for sure that Jesus had not been causing an insurrection or a desire to, just because he claimed to be king of the Jews didn't mean that he wanted to overthrow the king or Caesar. Pilate knew that. That wasn't Pilate's problem. Pilate's problem wasn't that he was stupid. Pilate's problem was that he was a coward. Pilate's problem was that he was weak. He was more concerned with maintaining his position and his power than in knowing the truth. He was more concerned with keeping the Jews happy than he was in protecting an innocent man. Pilate was a coward because he placed his position, his prosperity, his pride, and his person before his soul. Pilate rejected Jesus because cowardice has no room for Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this today? It takes courage to believe and follow Jesus today. There are plenty of folk who claim to love Jesus, but they're just like Pilate. They're cowards. They don't live to please Jesus. They live to please themselves. They live by their own rules. They do as they please. They serve God when it fits within their schedule. For the most part, they're no different than the world around them. The church, the Bible, prayer, witnessing, giving. Those are things that other people do. God help us. Not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Have we not gone to church? Have we not done this and done that?" And the Bible says, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me." So we see Jesus rejected by the religious community because religion has no room for Jesus. They have their traditions. They have all of the things they do. And Jesus would mess that up. If they just read the Word of God, much of their doctrine would change. There's nothing in the Word of God about praying to a priest to receive forgiveness. Nothing in the Word of God, whenever taken in context, that the baptism saves you. Nothing in there. Nothing in the Word of God says it's okay to ordain homosexual priest. By the way, nothing in the Word of God says it's okay for women to be preachers, pastors. Husband, one wife is still there. I don't care if the world wants to make them husband or one wife. Now, how many of you guys have been watching and reading over the last couple of weeks how perverted our world has come? You know, here it is. We've got this man that is claiming to be a woman is winning all of these records in swimming. And everybody's like, whoo, isn't that so great? She's so courageous. No, she's a weirdo and a freak. Or he is, I guess. A man that dresses up like a woman and wants to be a woman has a mental problem. But then on the news yesterday, this trans whatever was almost defeated by another man swimming in the women's division. And they're like, whoo, how good this is. Really? The gay rights movement, the transsexual movement, is against women more than any other movement that has ever been created. They want to destroy femininity and they want to destroy women completely. And the women of the world ought to stand up and say, no, it's not courageous. And the men ought to say, we're not going to allow a man in a women's bathroom. If we do, somebody's going to go to prison for this. Either for the beat down or they're going to the funeral home. Amen. But it ought to be time for us to say no. Maybe some of the school board members ought to say no, not in our school. Some of the parents ought to say no, not in our school. We're not going to have a homosexual teaching our children anything because they're perverts. Amen. Son of God is rejected by the religious community. Rejected by the ruling class. By the way, religion and the ruling class, a lot of times they'll walk hand in hand. But I see the sad part here. Verse number 6. Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner. It's Passover season. And as a goodwill gesture, the Roman Empire had allowed the area governors to release a prisoner. Whoever the people chose, they would release him. So that's what's going on here. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection on January 6th. And with him, who had committed murder, like the Capitol Police shot Ashley Babbitt right in the face, unarmed. Who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done in them. So the people were saying, we want somebody to be released. Remember, Pilate's a coward. He has no convictions. He sways with the wind. Well, we do not see this in our society today. By the way, science that can't be questioned is not science. That was free. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will you that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. He knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that Jesus was innocent. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will you then that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Crucify. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? He's trying to reason with them. And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify. And so Pilate, willing to, circle that word, content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. I see number 3 today, the Son of God rejected by the regular crowd. Pilate's examining Jesus and he's convinced that he's innocent. So he offers this man that is a murderer and an insurrectionist. But I don't know whether Pilate does this on purpose or because he's just out of touch with the people. I think, this is Hobsonology now, okay? I think that Barabbas was a hero of the people. Yeah, he's a murderer and he led insurrection. But who did he lead insurrection against? The Roman Empire. Who were the people looking for? They were looking for somebody that would deliver them from Roman oppression. See, Pilate offered a situation and he knew how it was going to turn out. He knew the people were going to reject Jesus because he knew that Barabbas... By the way, the people were there that day not to see Jesus. Jesus didn't have any supporters in that crowd. Nobody knew that Jesus had been arrested hardly. The people that were there that day came to see Barabbas crucified. Interesting. Most of us have probably never looked at it that way, have we? Most of us have always thought, well, Barabbas was a bad guy. Surely they wouldn't choose him. I think there's a little more going on to this than we think. So he offers Barabbas and the people. Okay. But you know what I see? I see the people condemning an innocent man. Can I say this? The majority is not always right. Now, a lot of preaching through the years has been done on this. I've heard it said, well, this is the crowd that just a few days ago cried, Hosanna to the king. No, this is a different bunch. These are not Jesus supporters here. This crowd did not care about Jesus. They wanted Barabbas. They did not believe in Jesus. He did not seem like the kind of Messiah they were looking for. Barabbas, on the other hand, was what they thought a Messiah would be like. Deliver them. The crowds rejected Jesus because unbelief has no room for Jesus Christ. Just as it was that day, when Jesus was crucified, the majority still refuses to believe in him. By the way, this refusal is what condemns them. Just because the multitude refuses to come to Jesus does not mean that you have to follow the multitude. You can go against the grain. You can receive Jesus. You can be saved and miss hell. You can walk with Jesus and live for him in your life. I'm so burdened for our young people, for our little children, all the way up through our teenagers to our young adults. This is a different world than whenever I grew up. Son of God came to them and they rejected him. The king came to Israel just like the prophet said he would. He fulfilled every prophecy. He accomplished everything God said the Messiah would accomplish. Jesus was and is exactly who he claimed to be, yet they rejected him. He came unto his own and his own received him not, the Bible says. Don't reject Jesus. Don't reject to live for Jesus if you're saved today. It's going to take courage. You don't have to wear a t-shirt that says, I believe in Jesus, or, you know, whatever else. But people ought to know that you're different. See, if we're not careful, this right here will quit reflecting and imposing our image. This will quit being what we look like, the Bible. And the world will become our mirror. and we'll begin to look and act and live like it. The great rejection. I see this happening today. But we have a choice. We can reject or we can receive. You say, "Preacher, I'm saved." Okay. Are you living for Him? Do people know that you're a Christian? Not just by you telling them, but by the way you live. Heads bowed, eyes closed today.